A couple of Sunday school lessons to give you. So take your Bibles today and Sunday school lessons on missions and turn to John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. Our Faith Promise missions this year has come in just a little bit over last year's. I don't have the exact total yet, but that's good because it's over $800 per month per week. Which I've always thought is pretty incredible for a church our size. So praise the Lord for that. John chapter number 4. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 29. And then we'll have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Okay? The Bible says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, then, hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. Thou hast had five husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? They that went out of the city, and they came unto him. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we ask that you'd bless this Sunday school lesson, that you would teach us and guide us, and that we would learn these truths in a very real and powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. If you came in late, did you get a handout, a Sunday school handout? draw those handouts, Cal. So we're in John chapter number 4. So for you that came in late, Ethan's teaching the starting point class the next couple of weeks, so that's why he's not teaching Sunday school this morning. But we're finishing up our missions emphasis month, and I want to give you a couple of lessons on missions. Now this morning's lesson, we're looking at the Savior, and Jesus is our example for really everything that we do in life. The Bible says that, for instance, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewings of our mind. Our mind are renewed to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, the Bible says, which also was in Christ Jesus. So far we've had the A bus come in, the B bus, and now we've had the C bus come in. And so, waiting now on the D bus. All right. You come on the F bus, you're in real trouble. Real trouble. All right. We're in John chapter 4. So I want to look this morning and just take this example in the Bible of Jesus dealing with one person and how we can make application and how we see the mindset of the Lord and the mindset even of missions. Because while we've talked these last several weeks mostly about foreign missions, the reality is you don't have to go to Burma or Honduras or any other country that we support to be a missionary. You can do that right here. In fact, I heard this many, many years ago. I think Pastor, I don't think it was original with him, but in fact, there's really... Solomon reminds us there's really nothing original under the sun. But he made this point, and I never forgot it, with regards to missionaries. So a man gets called to the mission field, or a woman gets called to go to the mission field, and you know, the question you would ask them would be this: well, what are you doing here? What are you doing right now? How are you reaching the lost now? And the point was, if you're not doing it here, why would you do it there? You understand what he's saying? If you're not actively involved in trying to reach people and tell people about Jesus Christ and their need for Christ here, then why in the world would people spend all kinds of money and send you all the way over there when you haven't yet done it here? That was a good point to be made. So you'll find that missionaries that come here and that present their work and that have a desire to go to a particular mission field, you'll generally find that they have already been very, very active in a local church, a local ministry, in different aspects of it. Teaching Sunday school, going on visitation, doing bus ministry, if a church has a bus ministry, any number of things. They've just been active in ministry. So here in this portion of Scripture, we see the Lord dealing with this woman. So let's look at a few things here. We're reminded, if you notice on your handout, kind of the theme verse at the top, Luke chapter 19, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The point of Christ coming into this world was so people can be saved, so that you and I could come to know Christ as our Savior, that we would understand that we're sinners, and that no amount of good deeds, no amount of good works can save us, that only putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ can save us. Amen? Are you with me? All right, so let's look at some things here. Notice this about this encounter that Jesus had with the woman at the well. First we find in John chapter 4 and verse 4, it says this, "And he," meaning Jesus, "must needs go through Samaria." So you notice on your handout, the point was this: he went out of his way to witness to this particular woman. I was talking with my daughter, Hannah, this past week. She called me. And, you know, Hannah's the real traveler in the family. Been to India, missions trip. Been to Papua New Guinea, missions trip. Been to Honduras. And so she popped this one on me the other night. She said, "Dad," she said, "have you ever heard of Tajikistan. I said, yes, I've heard of Tajikistan. He said, well, there's a lot, she said, going on in Tajikistan. You know, that's like all of these trips she goes on the other side of the world, you know. I said, yeah, isn't that a Muslim country? She said, yeah, that's a Muslim country, she said. She said, I'm kind of thinking of maybe going there. It's not one of those Muslim countries they chop people's heads off, is it? She says, no, it's pretty secular there. It's pretty okay. But the point is, missionaries, they go out of their way. They go, if you're going to Burma, you're going out of your way to witness to people, right? And if you're going to Tajikistan or India and you're an American, you're going out of your way to witness to people. But listen, you and I, right here, can go out of our way to witness to people. See, take the opportunity and to pray about an opportunity that God gives us to go and share the love of Christ with someone. When it says in verse 4 that he must needs go through Samaria, you have to understand, if you don't understand, understand this. The Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. They didn't like one another. Samaritans were half Jewish and half Gentile. You really have three groups of people in the world. You have Jews, you have Samaritans, and you have Gentiles. And there were two different centers of worship. But it wasn't just that. It was dangerous for a Jewish person to go through Samaria because the animosity was so great. If you went through Samaria, it would be like you could be risking your life. It was kind of a wilderness type of a country as well. You would generally not go through those mountains. You'd go down maybe through the Jordan Valley if you're going to travel to Jerusalem, and you would travel that way to avoid what could be a very, very difficult journey. But you also noticed this, that there was a must need. There was something in the Lord that he knew that he needed to go, and he needed to go because there were people there that needed to hear about him. And we're going to see as we read through chapter 4 here, there was an entire village of people that would come to know Christ as his Savior. So when people go to the mission field, they know that there are entire villages of people. This past year, our missionary to Siberia was here, Nancy Bukovich. And some years ago, she sent home a letter that they went to a place in Siberia to visit a group of missionaries. They went out of their way to visit a group of people called the reindeer people. And she explained it was a 40-hour trip. And you know, you just didn't hop on the plane. It was 40 hours because of the way that you traveled. And it was a rough travel. When my daughter was in Papua New Guinea, she was delighted to be able to take the plane into the bush country. That's the rainy season when she was there. So they told her before she got there that they probably would not be able to fly because there's just too much mud on the runways. But the weather had broken up and so that they could fly in. But where the Allens are, the missionaries that we support, and where my daughter was flying out of, it was like a 2.5-day trip to hike that over the mountains. But you get on a plane and you're there in less than an hour. But before the whole plane thing is, you went out of your way to get where they are. And that's what missions is about. And that's what you and I sometimes need to be about. Sometimes we need to go out of our way. And sometimes going out of our way, it may not be the distance. It may just be the time we have to spend with people. You know what I'm saying? It may not be that we're going out of our way to the other side of the state, but it may just be that we have to just spend some time and talk to people about the Lord. And because there are people that the Lord will bring us into contact with, and we can share our faith with them. So Jesus, it says in verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. And then it goes on in verses 5 and 6, he spoke to her about her soul, even when he didn't feel like it. And you'll see what I mean by this. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, by the way, that had taken place thousands of years prior. All right, this is talking about the Old Testament and Jacob's well. And now, look what it says in verse 6. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, Look at these next two words. Being wearied with his journey. Now let's not forget that Jesus, of course, was the God-man, God in the flesh. Amen? But part of him becoming a man was to experience life like you and I experience life. So Jesus grew tired, just like you and I grow tired. Jesus hungered, just like you and I hunger. So when Jesus was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights fasting, that's a long time to go without eating. For us, sometimes 4 hours is a long time to go without eating. The longest I've ever fasted, I think I fasted for about 2.5 days. That's a long time. It was for me. But Jesus, he was weary. He was tired. And there's an opportunity here. So listen, now I kind of took a little liberty here when I said that he did not feel like it. I'm sure Jesus always felt like sharing the gospel. But you understand the point I'm trying to make is sometimes we're just tired. We're just weary. We're just worn out. But if there's an opportunity there, I want to tell you, by the grace of God, God will give you the strength to talk with somebody. And that's a good thing. I was joking around this morning with someone. We were talking about, they were mentioning somebody that they know that gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, yeah, I can understand. Last night I got up at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, and 4 o'clock in the morning, and then I finally got up around 5:45. You ever have one of those nights? Well, that's kind of the night I had last night. So I'm a little bit weary. We've had a lot going on, too, in our family these last couple of days with Shelley's mom. But sometimes we're just weary, just as Jesus was weary, but he took time to talk to somebody about the Lord. And you can too. But then you notice this. He begins the conversation. Look at verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. There used to be a phrase when you wanted to share the gospel with someone. It was called drawing the net. Drawing the net. What do you think that means? If you're a fisherman, maybe that'll help you. To draw the net if you want to share Christ with someone. Jim Atherton, he probably remembers, but don't tell us, Jim. Let him think about it for a minute. What does it mean to draw the net? Go ahead. You had your hand up, Frank. Okay. So yeah, that's right. Obviously, with fishing. But what I'm asking, I guess, is how do you tie that into sharing the gospel with someone? Go ahead, Colleen. Colleen, put her hand up. Go ahead. Yeah, to just kind of somehow, if you're talking with someone and you want to share Christ with them, trying to get the conversation to such that you can draw that conversation into a point where you can then say, well, have you, and it's different with each conversation, but basically what you're saying is, have you ever thought about eternity? Have you ever thought about Jesus Christ? So there's different ways, you know, you can do that. Like, for instance, let's say you're talking with somebody about sports. And, you know, there are a number of athletes who are committed Christians. And, you know, you could be having a conversation, a football conversation. And in that conversation, you're talking about people, and somehow you kind of draw that conversation into one particular player. And I'll just use a name that was popular these last several years. But there was he doesn't play football any longer now. He plays baseball. But Tim Tebow was in the news and is still in the news. And you know, drawing the net is, oh, did you know that Tim Tebow is a committed Christian? And you know what I mean by that? And maybe the person doesn't. But you understand what I'm saying? You start a conversation, and if you want to share the gospel with someone, you have to kind of draw them into that direction. But always understand this, that the Lord will help you draw people into that conversation. The Lord, you're asking the Lord to help you, the Lord to guide you. So he starts the conversation. So he begins it just casually here. And then we're reminded here of his concern. Look at verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, This is the woman speaking now. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest me of a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She couldn't believe that he was even talking to her. That's how great the divide was between Jewish people and Samaritans. She was taken aback by that. But it shows, of course, as our example, that it doesn't matter. We should be concerned about all people and sharing the gospel with all people. It doesn't matter who they are. They need to hear about Christ because all of eternity is hanging in the balance. And so our concern when we see people, that should be our thought. But then, of course, now he started this conversation and now, I use that term again, he's going to draw the net. He's going to turn the conversation towards spiritual things. So verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "You know, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water." So you understand what Jesus is doing. He's taking something right there that's the physical water. They're at the well. They're drinking. And now he's going to take that. He's going to use it really as an object lesson to declare who he is. That there's something greater in life than just this water. People need to understand that. You know, we live in a world where people look at this world and we're just here for a short time. There's something far greater than all that's around us. I'll give you another football example. There's a football player, I think it was for the Buffalo Bills, like a few weeks ago at halftime, he retired. At halftime. Did you hear that in the news? I don't remember what all the issues were, but he just retired. Do you remember what the issue was? Did he just say he had it? Oh, no, I didn't hear that, was he? Oh, no. I thought it was different. I thought he just said, well, he'd been in the league for a long time. I think he just had enough. Like Frank, he just left because he's mad at me. So, no, Frank's going to pick somebody up. So, I saw some of you back watch him walk out. He's going to pick somebody up. I thought he quit for some noble reason. So that's not a good example. Okay. Anyway, don't use that example. But turn the conversation into spiritual things. That's what Jesus did. And then we notice in the next several verses, he shares with her the power of eternal life. Verse 11. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And from whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." So he tells her, he told her the power he has to give eternal life. So, and now they're going to get into this dialogue. She was putting her faith and trust in her system of worship. And, you know, most people put their faith and trust in some type of a system of worship and not the person of Jesus Christ. And what he's trying to get her to do is understand that. And that's what our job is. Our job is to get people to realize that there is no way you can earn your way to go to heaven. There's no amount of religion that's enough for you to go to heaven. You can't be good enough to go to heaven. You can't do enough to go to heaven. You have to put your faith in Jesus Christ and who he is and why he has come. So he now leads her to an awareness of her spiritual need. There's an old saying It goes kind of like this. You have to be, before you can be saved, you have to understand that you're lost. Understand what I mean by that? Before you're saved, you have to understand that you're lost. Well, what do I mean by that? Somebody tell me. In fact, I just had this conversation with someone not too long ago. They said, well, wait a minute, so somebody can just pray and ask Jesus to save them, and then they can just go live any kind of life that they want. I said, no, because if someone truly gets saved, they'll understand first that they're lost. And if they understand that they're lost, they'll understand why Jesus came. And they'll put their faith and trust in Him, and it'll be a transforming experience. So what do you mean? What do I mean by that? You have to understand that you're lost before you can be saved. You have to understand that you're a sinner, and if you die in your sin, you go to hell. You have to understand that. You have to understand that that's the nature of every person that's born into this world. We're all born into this world with a sinful nature. Amen? That's what the Bible says. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so you have to... Now, let me make sure that we understand this as well. When we share that with someone, or we share the gospel with someone, completely and totally depending upon in order for someone to truly become repentant and to accept Christ as their Savior? Go ahead. Yeah, the Holy Spirit. We're the tool, but it's the Holy Spirit that's going to take that, and the Holy Spirit is going to touch someone's heart, and the Holy Spirit is going to convince them that they're lost, that they're without hope, that they are Christless, and they need to get saved. It's a supernatural transforming experience that happens between a person and the Lord. And in this instance, Jesus is going to tell her all about herself and make her aware of the spiritual need. So she says in verse 15, well, Lord, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And I don't know if maybe at that moment, for a split second, she thought maybe there's some type of special water that she can drink, you know, like the fountain of eternal youth. And the woman answered and said, or Jesus said in verse 16, he starts to reveal to this woman her life. Jesus said unto her, verse 16, go, call thy husband and come hither. Now, do you think that Jesus knew that she was not married? I think absolutely. We find out later on he knows. Because he tells her in a couple of verses, yeah, the man that you're living with, he's not even your husband. But that's what Jesus does when you and I get saved. He exposes our life. We begin to look at our life and who we are and our need of Christ and our lost condition and our sinfulness. And that's the conviction. That's the Holy Spirit working. I have no husband, verse 17, the woman said. Thou hast well said, I have no husband. Jesus said, yeah, you're right. You're not married. She's probably thinking, you know, I've never met this man in my life. How does he know this? It's like people who sometimes say after a morning, a church service, and maybe you said this, yeah, when I first started coming to church, the preacher would get up and preach, and it was as if he knew my whole life. Was he spying on me during the week? Well, the preacher doesn't know your life, but you know who does know your life? The Lord knows your life. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth. He knows. He knows. I know that happened to me. Me and Shelly, as he know? You know? Remember Pastor Ainsworth, the first time he came to visit, we ran around the house and hid everything. You know, so. What's he doing here? So she says, he says to her in verse 18, "Thus you've had five husbands." I don't know if she was the black widow or what. So, but she's had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. Then the woman says in verse 19, she's not... She's now aware of her spiritual need. You know, the reality is, if she's been married that many times, there's been some issues. And even in that, I can only say, even in the Samaritan culture, that woman probably would have been looked upon not as the upper echelon in society. She would have been, if you will allow me, kind of down the lower ring of, or lower rung, I should say, of society. You understand what I'm saying? If you married five times in a small village like that, there was probably a lot of talking that went on. You know, so-and-so, she's getting married again. So she says in verse 19, she's beginning to realize something's up here. She says, I perceive you're a prophet, but he would not, and he gives us this great example, he's not sidetracked. The Lord teaches us, don't be sidetracked. Just tell people about the love of, tell people about who he is. She said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but you say in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And so Jesus is really going to say to her, listen, it's not about a place, it's about a person. Woman, believe me, verse 21, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the Son of Man... For the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman says in verse 25, we're running out of time here, the woman says, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. So the Samaritans, like the Jews, were looking for the coming of the Messiah. And of course, Jesus Christ is the Messiah, amen? And so she's realizing, you know, I think this is the Messiah. I think he's come. And Jesus points really her to him and reminds her that it's about a person and reminds us that that's what we're pointing people to. We're pointing people to a person. And you know, today, in Christianity, many people will point to a church. Well, I belong to this church, and I belong to this church. And we know that there is no church on the planet that can get somebody saved. Amen? But what is that church preaching? Are they pointing people to a person? The person of Jesus Christ. And so he refused, she teaches us, do not be sidetracked. And lastly, the woman, I believe, trust him as her Savior. And then we find, look at verse 27. And upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he was talking with this woman. Yet no man say, what seekest thou, or why talkest with her? The disciples are going to learn something here. The disciples were indifferent to this. They wonder, why is he talking to a Samaritan? They were going to learn a lesson. Because he cares about Samaritans. Just like he cares about you and I. Then the woman leaves her water pot, goes to the city, and saith to the men, come and see a man which told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city, and they all came to him. The whole city came. And that's quite a testimony. She hadn't come to know the Lord but just for a few minutes, and she's brought her entire city to hear about Jesus Christ. So that's why I say you don't have to go to the foreign fields of the world to be a missionary. You can be a missionary right here in North Adams. Come. You might not be able to, you may not be at the point in your Christianity where you have all the answers, but let me tell you, I've been at this for over 30 years. I don't have all the answers. But if you're born again, if you know Christ as your Savior, you're able to tell somebody what happened to you and how you received Christ. And then, just like she went and she said, come, let me bring you to a place where this man is. We can do that too. Come. Why don't you come to church and hear what the preacher's got to say about Jesus and what the Bible says? And that's missions. That's sharing the gospel. That's what Jesus did. He went out of his way, even when he was tired. And he kept everything focused. He had a concern. It didn't matter if she was a Samaritan. He was concerned for her eternity. And you and I, we need to be concerned for people, people's eternity. Just let me finish with, look at verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. And so he stayed there, the Bible says, for 2 days. And verse 44, and many more believed because of his own word. And they said, now we believe not because of thy saying, but we heard him ourselves and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. A large part of that village got saved because Jesus took some time and spoke with this woman at the well. She invited other people to come, and there was a great harvesting of souls there at that well. Well, we're out of time. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll have our morning worship service. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you've given for us to be here today. Thank you for your great love, your mercy, and your grace. Bless now the morning service, the worship service. Let it bring honor and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen.